Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lou Samenfink, Executive Director of the Cargo Systems Program Office at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining us in our conversation is Alan Heath, Partner, Customs and Border Protection Services at IBM. Lou, given the very complex nature of your efforts, before we dive into the specifics of your program, could you elaborate a little bit more on the impetus for the CBP modernization effort? What were some of the reasons for even pursuing modernization?
That's a good question. Back in 1993, I believe it was, then President Clinton signed the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and attached to that was something that we call the Modernization Act, the Customs Modernization Act, that really served as the foundation and gave Customs, the Customs Service, the authority, if you will, the blessing from the Hill to go forth and modernize its business processes, the processes that the trade community uses to import and export stuff into and out of the country. We had already been building something called the Automated Commercial System, or ACS, and as I said before, that system is still out there and operating. Well, since that act was signed, there's been a number of efforts to build what we are now calling ACE, the Automated Commercial Environment, and simply the replacement for the ACS, if you will. And what's evolved to this point is a contract that we signed just prior to 9/11. And in addition to really modernizing trade practice, to looking at the existing processes that we have, and not just automated processes, but the business processes, the things that our field offices are doing, and the things that the trade community is doing, a lot of things have changed. And obviously, again, be remiss to not mention 9/11 and the real focus that we now have on making sure that the security component of this system is baked in. In other words, when merchandise, cargo is coming into this country or for that matter even leaving, are there any things that we have to be concerned about in terms of our terrorist mission? And that's really what is behind ACE at this point. It's to make sure that as we do and process this legitimate trade, that we're taking time to ensure that that cargo is safe, that there's nothing that we have to worry about, that from a public health and safety perspective, it's good to go. And essentially, that's what it is. That now, using more modern tools in ACE and replacing what we have in ACS will give our officers a greater ability, if you will, to achieve that mission. And that's what it's all about.
So now that you've referenced ACE, what specifically are the goals of ACE, and how is it facilitating trade, improving national security, and enabling the creation of a transparent global supply chain, if you will?
Well, ACE, again, the Automated Commercial Environment, the replacement for this legacy system, it's to take what we have already built to the next level. Right now, we have a mainframe system. Our officers that are using it have to remember function codes and so forth and so on. So there's this technology component that's going to put it in and make it a web-enabled system so that it'll look and feel. You'll be able to click with mice and pull information together and so forth and so on. Essentially, the way it's improving national security is we're taking a lot of different systems. I've mentioned ACS, but there's some other systems that we use as well, and linking these together and not just bringing in information that Customs and Border Protection needs to achieve its mission, but also finding ways to bake in information from other participating government agencies to make sure that when our officers are at that port going to do cargo release or if they're looking at information after the fact, that they have all the information that they need from customs sources but also from those other government agency sources to complete their job. We're using a portal, sharing information with the trade community. Right now, we have the ability through ACE to allow people that are doing business with customs to come in and look at all of the information that we have about them essentially in our legacy system. It's a window into that. Why do we do that? We do that because it improves trade compliance. Those individuals can look and see what information we have, what kinds of activities are going on, where we have done inspections and found problems, and where we have done inspections and not found any problems. We're going to be able to better share information, not just within the Department of Homeland Security, but also across the government. I had a meeting the other day with an administrator with the EPA, a deputy administrator, and we talked about how we can better share information about cargo coming in to make sure that both agencies' missions are taken care of. And then I think finally, if we become more efficient using this tool, then it's going to free up our officers' time, and not just on the front line, but also those that are reviewing information after the fact, including regulatory auditors. It's going to give them more time to think about and to focus on their jobs and to have a lot less time pushing paper around and taking care of rather mundane tasks.
Lou, speaking of supporting the trade, what is the ACE periodic payment process? And to date, how much in duties and fees have been paid through this process? And can you explain how the trade community benefits from periodic payments?
Sure. Part of the Modernization Act that I referenced before stated that customs should find a way to collect money on a monthly basis instead of on a daily basis. Most folks, up until this point when you were importing, you had 10 business days after the cargo came in to pay us whatever duties, taxes, and fees that were owed. Well, Periodic Monthly Statement, since it's been out there, has collected more than $12 billion in revenue. In fact, we're doing almost 40% of all the duties and fees that we're collecting right now through Periodic Monthly Statement. And essentially, the benefit to the trade community is float. If you're a large importer and you pay $5, $10, $15 million or perhaps as much as $100 million a month in duty, which some importers do, and instead of having to piece that out and give it to us every day of the week, literally, after certain transactions have occurred, if you can roll all that up, make one big payment, and give it to us on a monthly basis, your float has increased. You don't have to be giving us the money as frequently. And furthermore, by making one payment instead of multiple payments, we've been told by a lot of business owners that that also is a cost savings to them. It's much easier for them to manage. Now, on the customs side, of course, the benefit is that when we can fully realize all the benefits of ACE, and we're still in the process of deploying some of these things, but when we have people in the field not shuffling pieces of paper around every day and actually doing these collection processes one day a month instead of every day of the month, it's going to be a big benefit to us as well.
A key component of your ACE modernization program is the advent of the e-manifest functionality as mandated under the Trade Act of 2002. Lou, can you tell us a little bit about the e-manifest capability? How did the e-manifest decrease the processing times and help ensure border security?
Absolutely. This is a very visible part of ACE. We launched it a couple of years ago, and to be honest with you, it's been a tough go. We were linking actually four different systems together for our officers at the land border. When the Trade Act was passed as a result of 9/11, our then Commissioner Bonner correctly realized that the only people that really know what's coming into the United States are carriers, the people, the vessel operators, the air operators, the rail operators, the truck operators that are actually bringing cargo to this country. And all of those individuals have to file a declaration. Not surprisingly, we call it a manifest, fancy word, but it's simply a declaration that says, hey, here's my truck, I'm the driver, and I've got 500 cartons of whatever on it. Getting that information in advance and allowing us to use it and take it against our watch lists to analyze it, to understand what it is. The theory is and the reality is that part of our layered strategy to defend the country against terrorism, having that information in advance, screening it and making sure that that stuff is okay is what the Trade Act was all about. When the Trade Act was signed in 2002, Customs and Border Protection, through its legacy system that I mentioned before, already had manifest systems for vessel, rail, and air carriers. We had nothing for truck. And over the last few years, we've mandated the submission of that manifest information in advance for those three modes of transportation. Prior to that, the information did not have to be electronic, and it did not have to be in advance. It could be filed when the conveyance arrived. Now it has to be in advance. Well, ACE, the first really, I would say, big task that it took on. We have our portal that I mentioned before where trade folks can look at what we know about them. And Periodic Monthly Statement is another piece of functionality. This truck manifest piece that we've deployed and are in the process of finishing our deployment is the same thing for trucks. It tells truckers when they're coming into the United States, hey, I want your electronic declaration. I want an electronic. I want it upfront before you arrive in the United States. Transmit it to me so that I can either, A, tell you not to come to the United States because I'm concerned about what you have, or when you arrive, my officers will have already had an opportunity to understand whatever threat there might be with that. Volumes are growing. We're having a lot of success with it at this point. And soon, I would say within a year, every truck arriving in this country is going to have an electronic manifest filed in advance.
Now, you've used the term portal a few times now. So what is the ACE Secure Data Portal, and what features and abilities are provided by this portal?
Well, the portal is a means for viewing and transmitting ACE-related data. For example, in the truck manifest piece that I just talked about, there's two ways that the trade community can get us that electronic manifest information. They can become an EDI participant, an electronic data interchange participant. We have record sets out there that folks can transmit us the information in advance. Many times larger carriers will do that, carriers that have 800 or 1,000 trucks in their fleets. They'll build that into their bill of lading software, their trip software or whatever, and they'll send us the information. The other mechanism that carriers can use to send us that manifest information is the portal, the ACE portal. And I look at it just as signing on to Internet Explorer and clicking on a link, and bang, up pops a screen where there's all the information that we require for a truck arriving. You can sit down and type it in. In fact, I just had a conversation with a woman from Mexico, a Mexican trucker. She's doing about 25 manifests a day using the ACE portal, and she loves it. She has no problems whatsoever. Users can go in there. They can store their equipment information, their driver information. They can store information about consignees and shippers and so forth, all the information on the manifest that they normally need to have. And they can save that in the portal and then just put their manifests together as they need them. The other thing that the portal will do for importers and brokers at this point, if I'm a major importer, and I've had, again, the pleasure of talking to a lot of importers that are using it, they use that portal to go on and run reports. There's 100 different reports that are available on that portal right now. They can run all kinds of information. For example, if you were an importer and you were using a licensed customs house broker, that's somebody that we give tests, we issue licenses, and if you're a licensed customs house broker, you can file this entry paperwork on behalf of importers. Many of these importers are concerned that there's brokers out there filing entries that they don't want filing entries for them anymore. They can use the ACE portal to go out and make sure that only those people they've authorized are filing entries on their behalf. They can also go out and see if entries haven't finished the liquidation process. Is there anything overdue? Is there anything that they have to be concerned about? One user of the portal told me that when his boss, his CEO, was taking a trip to a foreign country, he used the portal to go out and find out and get a summary of all the types of imports that that company has nationwide from that particular country. In this case, it was China. Within minutes, he was able to provide a report to his boss, and he looked pretty good. So the portal also serves that function as well. And finally, we've allowed over 200 members of other federal agencies access to the portal so that they can look at information that Customs collects that could be supportive of their missions.
Will carriers be able to continue using some of the other entry-release systems, such as the pre-arrival processing system, otherwise known as PAPS, and the free and secure trade FAST program to submit entries and obtain cargo releases?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a good question, and I'm going to go down into the weeds just a little bit for the listeners out there. I talked before about carriers coming in having to file a declaration, a manifest, if you will, saying, you know, here's what's on my conveyance. Let's use trucks as an example. Here's what's on my truck. I've got so much stuff. That declaration does not result in the payment of any duties, taxes, and fees. That occurs through an entry, which is another declaration that we get from either the importer or his licensed agent, a person that I talked about before, a customs house broker. That entry paperwork can be filed in any number of ways. And yes, that entry process, if you will, is baked into and links into that manifest process. And the reason it does is we want to clear as many trucks as we can on primary. When you enter the United States via a land border, you stop at a booth most normally and you talk to a customs officer. Trucks do the same thing. The goal is to have as many trucks that are compliant, that we have no concerns about, that we've done all of our pre-screening and so forth, be released into the country right from that primary point. In order to do that, we have to make sure that we're going to collect the appropriate money later on those goods that are being imported. By matching up that various entry information, and that's when you talked about PAPS and so forth, the pre-arrival processing system, those things are baked in. Another system that you mentioned, the Free and Secure Trade System, or FAST, was another brainchild, if you will, of then-Commissioner Bonner after 9/11, and that system allows us to do a lot more pre-vetting on transactions coming into the United States. For example, anything that's coming in under that program, the driver of the truck has already been pre-screened. We've gotten fingerprints. We've gotten declarations from that individual. We've been able to do our screening. The carrier bringing that information or bringing that cargo in as a participant in that CTPAT program or that high-level security program that I mentioned before. The importer in the United States is a participant in that CTPAT program. So definitely, ACE Truck Manifest supports that program. And in fact, we're in the process of merging that into ACE so that we just have one piece of software to maintain. But the business process will go on.
How does collaboration factor into the success of the CBP modernization effort? We will ask Lou Salmon-Fink, Executive Director of the Cargo Systems Program Office at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.